I got to rearrange it anyway. They fuss about it, but I'm like a woman changing the furniture in the house. Got to fix it, just move it 2 inches sometime. But I want you to open your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Anniversary Sunday is getting close, and we're going to talk some about it tonight. And already have. We were talking with teachers, up in teachers meeting about it a while ago. And we're doing a lot of things to promote it, to try to reach everybody we can. And as we read the text right here, we'll be showing you, talking to you about what the main reason is, the main thing about Anniversary Sunday. Somebody says, well, it's the preacher's anniversary, he and his wife, yeah, all that's great, we love it. But it's really about Jesus, right? It's about him. We've got some things here. I believe Brother Parsons told me that you can take these tonight. Is that right, Brother Parsons? They're back there. And he's done a good job, and others working on things here. And this is a handout that you can give out and pass out to people. And if you'll take some with you, you'll probably find a place. You might even leave a few somewhere. And probably you do that once in a while, leave a track somewhere. I was with another preacher. It's been years ago, and we had visited a couple of hospitals, and he just had some tracks, and he stuck them in different places, in the elevator and wherever. Before we left the hospital, got in the elevator with one of the nurses, and she picked one up, and she said, so y'all been the one leaving the word of God all over this place. People do pick that stuff up sometime and look at it. But anyway, and then this is going in the mail. The post office is going to work with us on this. And this is something that's going to go in the mail. So if you wear your button, you may, some folks may have already gotten this, because it's going to cover pretty much the area here, Haines City area anyway. And they've done a real good job of printing these up and got some pictures. Some of the folks you'll recognize here in the bus ministry. And you got a scene of the picture of the church right here where we're at right now. And they even got I believe the senior patriots got a table here shown eating. And just a lot of the ministries, kind of showing some of the ministries. Of course, it's got a great looking couple right on front. My wife and I. Anyway, we hope you'll get this through the mail and that others will. And then this is the one you pass out yourself. So we're giving you something to use, if you will. I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and this really tells us what it's all about. Tells us that we're ambassadors for Christ. Now think about it. Who is an ambassador? Let me give you a little definition. Several definitions, I guess, would fit. But an ambassador is someone that speaks for someone else. You got that? Represent somebody else. Now, who are we representing? Christ, of course. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth here, says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, we can all quote that, I hope, and that's what happened to us when we got saved. But now, moving on down through the verses just a little bit, and I'm not going to be able to take long on them, but says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So as an ambassador, we are trying to reconcile lost sinners to a holy God. We have the ministry of reconciliation. I want you to notice something. I think I counted, and maybe I've shown you this before, I think I counted the word us 5 times in these few verses here. Most Bible students believe that 5 is the number of grace. Some say it's the number of death. Well, it was by the death of Jesus Christ that we have the grace of God to get saved, so it pretty well fits. But notice here, he's given to us this ministry of reconciliation. That's one us in verse 18. Help me count them. There's another one down in verse 19. And another one down in verse 20. And another one down in verse 21. I believe that makes five, don't it? Five. Now, this is talking about our main business after we're saved. That's passing on the truth of the gospel. It's being an ambassador, going to those that are lost, speaking up for God. Am I hearing undergrowth talk somewhere, or is it just me? Let me talk. I'm the teacher, and if you want to teach, I'll let you take my place. Maybe. Come on back here to the portion now. This is talking about, it says, to wit, that God was in, what's my message? That God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. If you really understand that, that's the best news you ever heard. It was the best news I ever heard when I walked in a church and heard about the grace of God, that I could be saved though I didn't deserve to be saved, that my sins could be paid for by somebody because I couldn't pay for them. That's the best news I ever heard. And so now that's the message I heard. That's the message that changed me. Now it's my job to pass that message on, to tell others. So I'm given the job of reconciliation. Reconciling who? Lost sinner and a holy God. Do you understand you are important? Do you know you can do something the angels aren't even allowed to do? They can't preach the gospel. They even are interested how, I mean, they want to look into it, Peter said, because they can't quite understand how a holy God could take on human flesh and die for sinners. That's a mystery even to the angels. They are not fully, see, they never were lost in sin. That's why. But you and I were. And so this message is to us in particular, and this us right here is you and I, if we're saved tonight, and we're commissioned to pass it on. So then in verse 20, now then, right now, then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Do you understand what that said? It says, in Christ's stead. In other words, if Jesus could knock on a door here in Haines City and tell them about himself, that'd be wonderful. But he left that up for me to do and you to do. Wow, it's so... You say, well, I'm not worth much. You're worth everything. You can keep a soul out of hell. Man, that's big. And he goes on to tell us what he did to make it possible, for he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's substitution. That's Jesus taking my place, becoming sin for me, and let me become his righteousness. My sin no longer imputed to me, it was imputed to him. And his righteousness then, part of the reconciliation, is imputed to me. Now, college students, you can dwell on these verses a long time. They're very important. Our job on anniversary Sunday, or any Sunday, or any day, is telling others what happened to us, passing the message on. That's what it really is. Now, we need to understand what an ambassador is. We're speaking for somebody else. We're speaking up in Christ's stead, speaking for Jesus. Then we need to make sure we understand the message we have. Now, somebody said, well, I've never been trained as a soul winner. Well, you could be, but did you get saved? If you did, you can tell somebody else about that. And you don't have to go to class to do that. You can do that. So where do we get the message? Now, don't worry about how the messenger is treated. Sometimes we aren't treated so good, but we've never yet been crucified. We've never yet been beaten and with stripes, crowned with thorns and had a spear in our side. We've never gone as far as the one we're speaking for. And wonderful truth is we can tell others about him no matter how we get treated, good or bad. Most of the time in America, don't get treated too bad. I tell you this, when ambassadors go representing somebody else, however they're treated, that message of their treatment goes back to the one that sent them. I'll give you an example of that. If you want to look at the Old Testament, go real quick. Don't want to get into this very deep, but go over to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel, let's see if I can call it right. Chapter 10, I believe. 2 Samuel chapter 10. Here's a quick part of the story, quick background. 2 Samuel chapter 10. David is the king. Another king that he's been somewhat friendly with over the children of Ammon has died, and his son has taken his place. Now, David did just what we do. He sends condolences, his sympathy. He sends it to the son now that stepped into his dad's place as his dad is, the king has died. So he sends some ambassadors, David does. In these first few verses here, he sends them over to Ammon. And then some of the staff, some of the members, some of the government under the new king, the young king over there, says, oh, you think these guys come from David to show their condolences? No, they didn't. They came to spy out the land. I'm paraphrasing it for you because I don't take time to read it all. And so you know what they did? They took the ambassadors that David had sent in goodwill and they mistreated them. Let me ask you, soul winners, has this ever happened to you? Drop down with me. Drop down with me to verse 4 of 2 Samuel 10. Wherefore, Hanun took David's servants, that's the son and now, and shaved off the one half of their beards and cut off their garments in the middle, even to their buttocks, and sent them away. Now, I'll say, think on that one. So if somebody mistreated me at the door, they said something bad to me. Did they shave half your beard? Did they cut your clothes off in the middle? Of course not. Say, that's what they did here to these ambassadors that David had sent, goodwill ambassadors. They really got mistreated. Now, David hears about it before they get home. Let's read on down just a little bit. Verse 5. When they told it unto David, he sent to meet them because the men were greatly ashamed or embarrassed. Now think about it. David was kind enough, so those men went to represent me. They got mistreated. They're going to be embarrassed to come back. So he sends a party out to meet them, showing some compassion to them. And the king said, tarry ye at Jericho until your beards be grown and then return. He's trying to save them embarrassment. Now, if you follow the rest of the story, you think David just said too bad? No. No war developed over this. And I want to say to you, the Lord God in heaven knows how his ambassadors are being treated. And he's getting the message back just like King David did. And just like King David took some revenge on them, so is God one of these days. So is the Lord, no doubt about it. In the meantime, I'm not to worry about how I'm treated. I'm to worry about whether I get the message delivered. If I get the message delivered, then God will take it from there. And we are ambassadors. We are speaking in Christ's stead. And so we need to carry the message. We need to know the message, and the message is the gospel, yes. But again, we may not be able, or you may not be able, you may not have been saved long enough to explain justification and sanctification and glorification and all the vocations that we could name. Just joking a little bit, but you can sure tell somebody that Jesus loved them and died for them and paid for their sins. You can tell them the simple gospel. And the gospel is the power of God, Romans 1:16, power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. It still works. Folks still get saved when they hear. And sometimes what triggers them getting saved is not somebody that really was able to teach them a big part of the Bible, but just to get some short, clear, concise statements, messages across. I've told you this before. I think of a fellow that made a good preacher. He was just a teenager. He got him a job in a grocery store, bagging groceries and working in the grocery store. And he, you know, he graduated school. He thought he was great, you know, like most young people do about that time. And a traveling, well, not a traveling salesman, but a salesman that came on a monthly basis to the store to deliver whatever goods. Was stocking the shelves, and this young man was working in there, and the older man that was stocking the shelves said to him, "Are you saved? Are you a Christian?" And the young man kind of made light of it, said, "Oh, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't believe in that stuff," or something like that. And the salesman that was stocking the shelves said, "Well, that's too bad. You're a nice looking young fella. It's too bad you're going to hell." And that's all he said to him. Just all he said to him. And that young man's testimony was, "I waited a whole month for that salesman to come back." He said, "I counted the days. I thought he never would come back. He finally came back," and he said, "quick as I could, I got to him and I said, 'Is there any way I don't have to go to hell?'" And that salesman won him to the Lord in the grocery store, and that man made a great preacher. Now, I say, why? God used just that. Just that. That man was an ambassador for Christ. Spoke. I fear sometimes there's some around us that we just don't speak to. God sent them by. There they are, but we don't speak when we could and speak what God would lay on our heart. Let me just say this. As we think about Anniversary Sunday, we want to win every soul. We're going to go soul winning. We're going to go door knocking. We talked about that tonight in the announcements. We've got the handouts here for you. All of this. But there's more than one way to deliver the gospel. Now, it's wonderful if you can, and I hope you can, and you surely can if you work at it and study it. You can sit down side by side with somebody, take the Bible, and lead them to Christ. We'll do that over on the party. We won't just have a party. We'll have a soul winning booth over there. And if I had time tonight, does anybody remember how many got saved in the soul winning booth last year over at the party? It was quite a number. And a lot of people was working it under the tent over there. And here was the amazing thing. From the first time we done it to the last time, a lot of folks would say, "Those kids are not going to quit riding, quit eating, quit playing to sit down and let somebody tell them the gospel." But they do. But they do. They fool you. They think deeper than you think sometimes. And so a great number have been saved. And, of course, that's not only good for the ones getting saved. It's even good for the ambassadors to get the practice in also. And that's what we are. And so there is a lot of tools we can use. These things here are tools, a mail out and a handout. They're just tools. We want to use them. And we'll use announcements on the radio. We'll do all that that we can. We're going to use the post office to get some of these things out. Let me say to you personally, you say, I lose my thought, I get too nervous, I just can't sit down and talk with somebody. Well, yeah, certainly the first few times you do it, you'll feel that way, but you'll finally get to where you can sit down and talk with them about Jesus as good as you can a ball game, if you do it enough. But to start with, try to get somebody to come to church and hear the gospel preached. Every soul winner can tell you somebody that has already heard the gospel, been in church, is a lot easier to reach. God's already plowed the field. He's already planted the seed. And so you're not doing a little thing when you get somebody to come to church with you. You're doing a big thing. You're getting them to sit under the gospel. And show yourself friendly to folks when you invite them to church. You may know the truth that they're lost and on their way to hell, but that may not be the best way to get them to come to church with you. Tell them that up front. Show yourself a little bit friendly and wise. And the Bible talks about being wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And do it on a wise and friendly basis. But show some excitement to the fact that I was using an illustration with the bus department. I guess it was Saturday morning. I told them about the time I'd been saved, but I was working for a company, and they sent me for training down in Miami. It was kind of a miserable week down there. And I was supposed to go out with the top salesman that they had down there in the company. And that was a terrible experience, but I learned something from it. I went out and watched this guy knock on doors, and that neighborhood down there, oh, listen, it was a strange neighborhood to me. I was just still so much a country boy. But I actually saw that guy knock on a door, and the housewife come to the door just swearing at him, never seen him before, interrupting her morning. That guy was so talented. I know just how you feel. And oh boy, then you think they go kill each other back and forth. And I'm getting ready to get back in the car. Next thing I know, he's in the house. And he's sitting at the table. And he's selling the product. And he gets her to bring the telephone to him. And he's going to call the office and get her a good deal. And he calls the office, but he's got the secretary trained that when he calls, she answers good and loud so whoever's in the house can hear it. Then she hangs up and goes about her business. He keeps talking to a dead telephone. That's God's truth. That was his strategy. Terrible, crooked, whatever. But he'd make the sale. I actually saw him do this. He'd say, "Now, boss, give her another 10%. Give her another." And that woman sitting at the table, "Yeah, yeah." Crazy. Now, I didn't learn how to do that, but I watched it. And what I'm saying to you is that guy, when somebody didn't greet him real well, didn't get his feelings hurt. He just kept his goal in mind. And sometimes when somebody is bad-mouthing you, they don't really mean it in their heart. They really want to hear the truth. And so you go ahead and use the word of God. Show yourself as friendly as you can. Be happy that you're saved. Part of what that I learned from that guy was this, and he'd illustrate this in a meeting with us guys. He'd say, "Now, this is the way you don't do it." And he'd go up to the door, pretend to go up to the door like we do sometimes, so wouldn't he? And he'd knock on the door, and somebody, imaginary person, would come to the door. And here's what he'd say you don't do. He'd say, "Well, hello, I'm selling some brushes, but I'm sure you wouldn't want one, would you?" And sure enough, of course they wouldn't. And he said, now he wasn't applying it to soul winning, but I applied it. If we go up with that kind of attitude, somebody's got a right to ask us why you want me to have some of what you're so miserable with. Right? So we ought to be a little happy and excited about the fact I'm saved, I'm going to heaven instead of hell, and that will rub off on people. I remember a couple visited my church. Roy and Sander was their first names. I remember the last names, but I'm not going to tell you. Anyway, they visited my church, country church. And so I got their address, and I visited them. Well, when I got in the house, she was a good cook. She'd baked a nice cake. It was on the table. And I sat down to have cake with them. I was friendly, and they were being friendly to me. And they told me they were a member of a certain church. And so I made a wrong assumption. Assumption I made was they're saved. They're Baptists. They're saved. They're going to another Baptist church somewhere. And so we're eating cake, and somehow I get talking about I'm so happy to be saved and what I got saved from and serving the Lord. And then the young wife spoke up and said this. She said, oh, I wish I could say that. I wish I could know I was saved. That old cake just grew. I was trying to swallow it, and it just got bigger and bigger because I wanted to tell them how to be saved, and I finally got that cake swallowed and got my New Testament out and won them to the Lord, and they made great Christians who's joined my church, and every time I go up that way and preach, they come to hear me preach. I want to tell you something. Don't make the wrong assumption. And there's some folks that you might not think really want to hear, want to know. It's possible to join all kind of churches and not be saved. You do know that, don't you? I fear we have some on our roll, no doubt about it. Being on a church roll is one thing. Being born again is another. And so we have to be careful about that. Yeah, show ourselves friendly and show some excitement. It's the most important thing we could be doing. Certainly is. Now, I just want to say this, and this is, I'll finish off on this. We've had a lot of anniversary Sundays. Some of you have been here for some. Some of you, maybe this will be the first one. And whatever you can do, if you'll get in and help us, you'll find yourself enjoying it. Amen. You'll find also, though, if you pass out some of these or knock some doors or call a friend or a family member and they show up on Sunday, that'll be a real time of excitement for you. If they get saved, you can't get any higher than that. And that can well happen. It can well happen. But it won't happen if we just sit to watch who else does it. We got to act as though it was all on us, because we're all ambassadors. We're all called to speak for another. That's Jesus. We're all going to be judged as whether we speak for the Lord when we have the opportunity. One-on-one. Now, as a whole, this whole church, this whole congregation, our whole ministry, our whole program, we're going to be doing all we can. We're going to be throwing out the message as far as we can with stuff like this. But the thing that will work better than anything else about getting somebody here is one-on-one as an ambassador for Jesus. One-on-one taking the message to somebody. Now, here's what I'd like to challenge you on a little bit tonight is this. Decide. We got 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks now, but it's moving fast. And of course, any Sunday is wonderful, but I'm talking about zeroing in on somebody for that particular day. Now, you'll be on a bus route or something else. You're trying to get 40 or 100. That's fine. You do that anyhow. But then think, is there going to be one person under the sound of the gospel on this Sunday because I personally dedicated to getting one, going to one, talking to one, following up with that one? Now think about it. If we did, if we had a couple of hundred people here tonight that did exactly that, I'd love to have 10, but I'm not going to try to get 10. I'm going to be sure to get one. By the time you multiply that, what would it do? You understand? I'll put it this way. Churches ought to do what we do, bus routes, have a tent meeting or something else, reach everybody as we can, reach a crowd. Wonderful. But the church that consistently reaches one every week, one person reaches one every week, will outgrow the one that throws the big tent and the big loop and the big program. Wouldn't it be wonderful if church did both? If they used both outreaches. And that's what we're really commanded to do. So being an ambassador, I am an ambassador. I got saved. That makes me one. Whether I like it or not, whether I want to be or not, whether or not I train to be, or whether or not I speak up or not, I'm still going to be responsible for being an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I get somebody to come hear the gospel, that's wonderful. If I win them personally, that's wonderful. But if I make my effort like that, I believe with all my heart, God will bless that effort. It's possible for us to do all the big stuff we do and not get anybody saved. The devil is working just as hard against us as we are to reach them. But if we just zero in one, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be responsible for one. Hopefully you're going to be responsible for 100 on your bus if you're a bus worker, or a big increase in your Sunday school class if you're a teacher. But if every one of us, here's where the power lies that God wants us to use, every one of us goes to a neighbor, to a relative, to a friend, or somebody we don't know very well, and try to get them to the house of God to hear the gospel. That'll work. It's not about a big number. We have quit several years ago trying to have record numbers. I think we got up there one time close to 4,000. And that was great. We had a buses, probably the biggest record we ever had. Oh, that's wonderful. I'd love to do it again. We'll have a good enough number, but are we going to zero in? Huh? Any of you guys ever go bird hunting, shooting quail, or up north, maybe something else? What do they shoot up north? Pheasant hunting. That's cheating. They're too big. You can't miss them. But you get down here in the south shooting at these quail, you better be fast. I mean, when they get up, brother, they get up. And they get up like 10 or 20 at the time sometime when they get up. Anybody here ever done that? Raise your hand if you ever done that. All right, several of you wiser guys, they're good. Let me tell you something. 10 of them get up and you think, I can't miss. You can shoot 3 times and not cut a feather. Amen. Right. How did I miss? I'll tell you how you missed. You didn't pick out one and aim at him. And when it comes to soul winning and talking to people about Jesus, pick out one, and then pick out another. Sometimes I've seen guys that's pretty good on hunting pick out as many as 3 out of a covey getting up, but they had to go 1, 2, 3. They didn't go bang, 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 and 3 of them fall. And we all rather kind of just go bang, 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 but if we would just be an individual ambassador and make an effort ourselves, we'd be surprised what God would do. Amen? Again, I'm not going to stop with just that. I want to say this. I'm going to ask you tonight, in your heart or at the altar, we got 5 minutes here. In your heart or at the altar, ask God to lay one on your heart. Maybe show you their face in your picture of your mind or name. Or if he doesn't show you one tonight, ask him to show you one in time to zero in and aim at one. Consider doing that. Let's stand, please. Father, our invitation tonight is just for people in their heart or at the altar to say, Lord, show me somebody. Help me to aim at somebody. Help me, Father, to be able to be in that place at the right time to say the right word. And Father, help me to be in that place where I can invite somebody to church to hear the gospel. And Father, lay somebody on my heart. And help me to have love enough, courage enough to go to them and tell them about Jesus. Try to get them to your house to hear your word. And Father, I pray that you'd lay somebody on my heart tonight. I pray you'd lay somebody on every heart in the building. And somebody says, I can't do that. Yes, Lord, they can. If they've been saved themselves, they are an ambassador for you. Help them to see that tonight. I pray, Father, you'd give us souls on the big Sunday. I pray you'd help us to go out there and be used to speak up. Father, we're not speaking for ourselves. We're speaking for you. Help us, Lord, to do that, if it be thy precious will. Bless all the work, all the handouts, all the mail outs, all the radio, everything we're going to do. Bless that, Father, I pray. But bless us to personally care enough to go to one person. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Amen. God bless you. I hope God's laid somebody on your heart and that you'll obey him and do it. All right, are we having choir practice tonight?